help us to commence this evening with hymn 1098. O God of mercy, hear my call, my load of guilt remove, break down this separating wall that bars me from thy love. 1098.
Turn for our reading to the book of Job. We'll read chapters 40 and 42. The book of Job, reading chapters 40 and 42. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, Gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me, that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God? Or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold every one that is proud and abase him. Look on every one that is proud and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. Then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Surely the mountains bring him forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees, in the covert of the reed and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river, and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. He taketh it with his eyes. His nose pierceth through snares. Chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren, and all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him, and comforted him over all the evil which, that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, and 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Keren-Hapuk. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. Lord, bless his word of truth to us and help us now to pray. O Lord, we greatly stand in need of the help of thy Holy Spirit. All our plea would be with thee that thou would take not thy Holy Spirit from us, and that thou hast cast us not away from thy presence. Lord, we can do nothing without thee. Oh, therefore we come before thee once more this evening to supplicate thy grace, thy help, or that there may be given us that power from on high, that thy word may be in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Oh, only thou canst, Lord, unstop the deaf ears. Only thou canst break the hard heart. And we do pray it may be so this evening, that grace may reign, that we may feel that grace in our hearts, O Lord. Oh, come and do us good, and come and nourish us with the word of grace. Come and teach us and show us that man, or that God-man, who is full of grace and truth. We do pray to be led unto him, and we do pray that we may be brought to know him. Or we pray that we may be brought to believe on him, that we may, Lord, see our union with him. May we, Lord, have some communion with thee this day, if it could please thee. Oh, as we seek thy face, may we know thy blessing given us. As we draw near unto thee, we pray that thou wilt draw near unto us. Oh, we pray that we may be given that spiritual mindedness, that heavenly mindedness, and may much prayer be made in the pew, that there may be, Lord, that gracious gift of a spiritual mind and leading into thy truth, as the psalmist prayed, and that thou wilt send out thy light and thy truth, and that we may be led unto thy altars to thy with exceeding joy. Oh, do Lord grant then that leading. May we not be content with a mere custom and form. May we not be content to be merely hearers of the word, but may thy word have an abiding place in us, and may we be found to be doers of it, and to see the outworking of thy word in our heart and in our lives. Oh, don't leave us, we pray, to come and go from thy house, as the sometimes say, as the door on its hinges, and sit in the pew as dead as the pew itself. Oh, well, we pray that our souls may be alive unto God, and that we may be given something of that real resurrection power, that we may not be left in our death, our deathly state, but that we may find our hearts going after thee, and that we may be rightly stirred up to seek the Lord while he may be found, and call on him while he is near, and that we may be found true seekers of thee. May it be so this day. May there be many who have come into this house of God made true seekers. Oh, what a mercy if it has been so. Oh, Lord, make us true seekers. May there be praying souls found in the pews here. And Lord, up and around in Zion, oh, do raise up praying souls, and may it be testified and noised, behold, he prayeth. Oh, how, Lord, we seek then a spiritual prayer. Grant it to us. And we do pray there may be something wrought in hearts here this evening, our Lord, we offer up prayer for this church and people. Help them in their gathering, we pray, not only now, but as they meet week by week. We thank thee where thy arm has appeared, and Lord, the evidence of thy work. And we pray that thou wilt go on to do great things here. Lord, we thank thee for that peace and unity of the Spirit, and we pray that thou maintain it here. Oh, we can take none of these things for granted, O Lord, and we can only fall before thy holy and gracious majesty, and pray that thou cast out sin and take away all iniquity, and to receive us graciously, that which thou seest amiss in us put right. May we be continually helped to come unto thee, that we may be healed. O Lord, work in our hearts this evening, then we pray. Convince us of our sin, and lead to Jesus' blood. That's the experience we need. May we not be left outside of it. Lord, left unconscious of what we are and what we need. Leave us not to that. Leave us not, Lord, in a state of despair, but lead us to that rock that is higher than us, and may we truly know Christ, him crucified. Also, please bring us there. Don't leave us at a distance, and if any feel to be at such this evening, may they know that drawing by thy Spirit. Lord, the drawing of the Father's love. Oh, do grant it. And we do pray there may be then that help this evening as we would turn to thy word again. And pray thy Spirit may shine upon the word, and don't leave us to the mere letter of truth, but may we be led, Lord, into it. We need thee to lead us. Oh, how dependent are we, Lord, upon thee, to reveal to us the deep things of God. Come and do us good, we pray. And Lord, then we do bear all before thee here. Remember each in their circumstances in life. Families, remember. Bless the married. And crown that union. May they know that fear of thee, Lord. And they be truly granted the blessing of being heirs together of the grace of life. Lord, little ones brought into thy house, bless them, we pray. And remember them, and may there be those things sown in their heart, even whilst young. And Lord, we pray for each who tread a more lonely path. Lord, may they be helped and upheld, and know thee yet to be their friend. Lord, those in weaknesses and infirmities that remember, those in griefs and sorrows, and unable to be here this day to watch over them and remember them where they are. We do, Lord, then pray that thou bless this cause, make it thy cause. May we pray for our own cause and the causes round about. Oh, remember us, we pray, in our lowest state, for thy mercy endureth forever. So be with us here this evening. Lord, we pray that thou speak into our hearts. And come over all our infirmities, we pray thee. The Lord is a speaker and hearer, and may it be thy word that we hear and receive. May there be something that we can retain, Lord, and take on our way at the close of this day. Do not send any empty from thy house. We would see Jesus. We do pray that thou wilt pardon our many sins. Forgive us, O Lord, for our backslidings, our forgetfulness of thee, our leaning to our flesh and our own mind and our own will. Oh, how ready we are to do so. Lord, we pray that thou wilt forgive it and overcome it. Overcome it. So hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place, and remember us for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 894. The Saviour empties whom he fills and quickens whom he slays. Our legal hope he kindly kills to teach us gospel praise. 894.
Thank you.
as the Lord is pleased to help us this evening. We're led to a word in the book of Job, chapter 42, and it is verse 10. Job 42, verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. We know well the story concerning Job and all the grief and sorrow that came upon him very suddenly in a day, and all that he lost, his substance taken away, his children. And we read at the close of that account in the first chapter, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. We also read on into the second chapter regarding the affliction in his health and strength, but still Job was able to speak well of God, and we read in all this, did not Job sin with his lips? The man was given much strength and much grace that he did not curse God and die according to the temptation of his wife. But we do read this as we commence a third chapter. After this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. He didn't curse his God, but he cursed his day. And it would seem the spirit of Job, in much that we read of his speech, was one of complaining and one of self-justification. Because we read concerning his three friends who ceased talking to Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. And it was not really until the Lord spake to Job that he was enabled to lay his hand on his mouth and say, "Behold, I am vile. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer, yea, twice, but I will proceed no further." Now, there is much instruction in this text. First, in this sense, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed. And here, for his friends, speaks of the manner of spirit he was in. Whereas before, you see, he was perhaps fighting with his mouth, telling them he was righteous, answering them back. What a different spirit this was when he prayed for his friends. And it speaks of the grace of God, the grace of God manifest in the dear man. And really, just as you've been singing, it's not the way to God's favour, is it? Justifying ourselves. It's falling down guilty. It's a broken and a contrite heart which finds the favour of God. Not that you can give it yourself, But David says, doesn't he, in his penitential psalm, that that is the sacrifice that God accepts. And you see, Job had to be humbled and come to that. Oh, how shall a man be just with God? Is it by speaking of his own righteousness? No, it's by falling before the Almighty, seeing his greatness and his righteousness, which is the great mountains, and falling down guilty, and putting our mouth in the dust, yea, laying our hand on our mouth, as Job did. We've got nothing to say of our own goodness. Have you been confounded at times and dumb? I believe we read of it in the Psalms, how the psalmist was dumb when he saw his iniquities. He couldn't speak. I believe that can be the case of God's people. They're so choked up with what they see, they cannot speak. They could never declare their own righteousness. But this by nature is the way of man. Every man speaks of his own goodness. It's only the grace of God that can bring us to the point that Job was at. Behold, I am vile. And he would proceed no further. No further in that wretched justification. Oh, then the mercy, dear friends, is to be brought to a throne of grace, isn't it? It's to be brought, you see, to be a humble confessor before the Almighty. And even though we can't understand his ways, and all is confusion, and there may not be anything outwardly in our life that we can see why the Lord has permitted this and that, it is certainly never a right thing to justify ourselves. Because all are sinners in God's sight. We're all part of the Adam fall. We need to lay our hand upon our mouth. We need to turn to the Lord and say, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed, and that for his friends. Now this, for his friends, does speak of the manifestation of God's grace in Job. You see, those three friends, well, they were friends of Job. They sat with him 7 days. But they weren't really friends of his soul. And all they said, many things they said, attacked him and wounded him. And the Lord was wroth with those three friends. But you know, the wonderful thing is that the Lord can be entreated and is entreated, and sometimes uses the humble prayers of his dear people as he will heal and take away evil. And so we read that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Or to be given the heart of Christ and to pray, yes, pray for those that are our enemies and that evil entreat us and despise us. For the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. His friends then had done much harm to Job's spirit. But this is the grace of God manifest. And I believe it was manifest in others in the scriptures who were given a like spirit, a confession on behalf of another, and to pray for their good, Take Moses. How often he fell before the Lord on behalf of Israel. When there were fires that broke out in the camp and other things. Oh, how even his own sister and brother spoke against him. But the man was given a humble meekness. The thing with Moses is that the Lord heard him often and pardoned iniquity. The Lord heard that man. Not because of any goodness in him, and we are instructed concerning this because his sins are recorded. But it was because the Lord accepted the face of Moses, just as he accepted the face of Job. And that is for Jesus' sake. And I say Abraham, who interceded for Lot, and also for Abimelech, when the Lord fast shut up the wombs in his kingdom. We have abundant evidence that the Lord hears the prayers of righteous men. And that is the righteousness of Christ upon them. Righteous men do not see righteousness in themselves. Righteous men do not plead goodness in self. Righteous men come as the publican. Righteous men see sin in themselves and plead Christ. And that is the prayer God hears. The Lord heard the publican's prayer, but his face was sternly against the prayer of this Pharisee. And it was an abomination to him. How dare the Pharisee speak of himself? But Job, here in a spirit of true confession, no doubt, pleading Christ was heard. And we need to come to this for ourselves and for others. We won't be heard unless we do. We need to be brought to plead Jesus only. The mercy of the Lord humbles our spirits so that we are brought to it. What a mercy the Lord takes away our pride as well, so that we can pray for our friends. And I say, in the many divisions in the Church of God, this is so much needed, isn't it? Pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, a spirit of prayer, a real spirit of prayer given, is a true healing. And how a man can shut himself up in his pathway by remaining variance to his brother. Oh, we need this spirit given us very much. When he prayed for his friends. But come to this, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. So Job was in a captivity. He was in a place where he could not deliver himself. He had been brought so very low. And yet the Lord turned him. And the Lord can do the same to us. Perhaps there are some captive souls here. Perhaps the Lord has brought you into a captive place. And sometimes it is for our sins that he brings us there. He carried Israel captive, didn't he? For their transgressions. The Lord may send a captivity into our lives. A trial. We're shut up and we cannot get out of it. He may send a captivity into our soul. There may be a famine of the hearing of the word of God. There may be that great hardness of heart known and felt. And we really feel such a captive. Or a captive to our sins and a captive to our lusts. And we cannot break free from them. Or a captive to Satan's temptations. And we cannot break free from them. There are many things that captivate the children of God. And our cry then may often be, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as these streams in the south. Do you feel to be there in a south land, in a dry place, far away from God? You may be far away from his people, perhaps you feel to be. Not one of them. In a south land, you long for springs of water. You long that the Lord should revive you again. Oh, how Job was in such a place. There had been such a breaking down. And as we read in the prophet Joel, it might seem with Job as if the caterpillar, the cankerworm, the palmer worm had destroyed everything. It may be like that with you. Oh, God has permitted it. That great army is sent amongst you. And there's a coming down and a breaking down. And you long that the Lord should revive your heart and life. And oh, that the Lord would bring you up. Oh, that we may truly know those deliverances and the Lord turn the captivity of Job. Well, are there captive souls here, hastening to be loosed, longing to be brought out of your troubles and your trials? Perhaps cry with the psalmist, bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. Oh, you feel bound in your spirit. And we read that in, it may be seen in one sense with Paul. We read how he went bound in his spirit. Oh, are you bound in your spirit? And you can proceed no further. And you're crying out for the deliverance. Weren't Israel here by the Red Sea? They were shut in on every side. But the Lord made the way. And was not Joseph a captive in the prison? But the Lord delivered him. Oh, how we need the Lord often to turn our captivities. And I believe the Lord's people are often found here in their soul's experience and perhaps in their pathway. Perhaps come into a dead-end place. A place where no man can help. Somewhere where you've lost everything. You may feel, child of God, you've lost all your grace. And you've come to nothing. But the Lord can come in a moment and turn that captivity. So why is this? It is because the Lord looseth the prisoners. Those that are bound, this is the office of Christ. How he delights to do this. To open the prison to those that are bound. He declaring the acceptable year of the Lord, the gospel of the grace of Christ. Have you heard it? That will bring the captive out. We need the gospel. The Lord alone can release you. And Christ still has that power, just as he brought Lazarus out of that tomb. He can roll away your stone and command you to come out. Oh, that the Lord would grant that realization that he can turn our captivity. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. So I believe it speaks of that manner of spirit he was in. Not that we are heard because we are good. But what it is this, that we must be brought to the point of submission. The Lord must humble us down to his feet. And there we will be heard. It must be Jesus only. We must be brought down there. All the time fighting and fighting and fighting. You may have some here. You're fighting against the will of God. You will not submit. You see, we have to be brought down to his feet. And when we get there, then it is then the Lord turns our captivity. Because we come to Christ, you see. I believe we read of Paul going up to Jerusalem. And so many of the brethren were concerned concerning those chains that awaited him there and tried to persuade him not to go. But when he would not be persuaded, they ceased saying, "The will of the Lord be done." You see, that is where we must be brought ourselves. The will of the Lord be done. That is a blessed place to be brought to. And only the grace of God can bring us there. When it is not our will but his will that is done. Paul was certainly not in that spirit when he was in his unregeneracy. He thought he was right. And you know, he felt so free. So free. He was going about as he would. And hauling men and women to prison. But then, you see, the Lord brought him down. And the Lord brought him to this point. Paul had to say, "What wilt thou have me to do?" To be brought to his feet. All the Lord's children must be brought there. He is the only sovereign of our heart. And he will not have a divided heart. Our God is a jealous God. He's jealous of his people. And of his own way. Of his own thoughts, which are not ours. And he will bring us to lovingly and graciously submit to him. Oh, then, this is liberty, isn't it? To be found in communion with God. To be found walking with him. This is liberty. And we will find liberty in our soul if we're in such a place. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And how will you find peace in your soul if you're striving against the Most High? What can the clay say to the potter? See, Job had to get to the point where he no more complained about his way, his life, neither justified himself. And the Lord turned his captivity. Oh, then the mercy then to really be brought to the feet of Christ. And you know, it's sinners that are brought there. The righteous stand afar off, don't they? They stand aloof. It's the sinners that are brought down to Christ's feet. Think of that woman in the city which was a sinner. She came to his feet. Why, Simon the Pharisee wouldn't stoop down there, would he? But she did. She was a sinner. And she couldn't get low enough. Oh, that is where we need to be brought. And we need to be brought here to kiss the rod. And to know the Lord who has appointed it. Hear the rod. And who has appointed it. And to kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Oh, in the mercy of God in this. How he hears the prayer of his people. His people who come on mercy's ground. And we love the account, as we've already mentioned, of Moses in the wilderness, as we may read of him, after Israel had sinned with the golden calf. And all his deep supplication before the Lord on behalf of Israel. Oh, how they had sinned a great sin, and Moses had to turn to the Lord and tell him about it. Even to the blotting out of his own name. But the Lord clearly heard him for his own name's sake. Not for Moses. But it was as Moses was a representative. It was for Jesus' sake, you see. Oh, the Lord hears the prayers of his people for Jesus' sake. Now, may we be encouraged in this then, in also this sense, to pray on and to seek on in all the hardships and trials and difficulties of the way. Those things that worry us, and it may be our sins, and it may be the sins of others that worry us. But we can go to the Lord with it, maybe a loved one. And we're concerned for them. We read of Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And you may be a father, a mother. You may have a loved one. But are we not encouraged to bring them before the Lord? To bring them to Jesus? Well, there's an encouragement here, isn't there, to bring those ones that the Lord lays upon our heart and mind to the Lord. And the Lord can turn ours and their captivities. And that is why we really pray one for another. And the Apostle Paul craved the prayers of the brethren, didn't he? Brethren, pray for us. And we should bear one another's burdens, shouldn't we? And even when a brother's gone astray and hard things there are to endure, you see, it's still the way. And we must be granted that grace to pray on despite all the present scene when he prayed for his friends. Oh, then the Lord did bless Job. He blessed his latter end more than his beginning. The Lord, we read here, gave Job twice as much as he had before. The Lord favoured him in turning his captivity. The Lord is able to bring you out of your distresses, out of your prison house, out of your trials, and those whom the Lord lays upon our hearts also. Well, we mentioned Joseph again, and how suddenly he was delivered, wasn't he? As he was brought up in an instant out of his captivity. And Pharaoh made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Well, it is not to say that necessarily we will have all that this life holds. The Lord will so bless us with such great prosperity in our providential path. It may be so, may not be so. But we know he is a God that does bless. And he does bless humble souls. Unto this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. And the Lord's favour, why, it maketh rich, and it addeth no sorrow to it. We need to seek God's favour. Not the favour of man, and not our own favour, God's favour. We want the Lord's blessing. Is that what we seek? And is that what we're seeking in our path and in all our dealings? The Lord's blessing. And the Lord will bless us. Why, we do need the Lord's blessing. And only that maketh rich. Oh, then Job had it as he was brought down to pray for his friends. What the wonderful mercy is that the Lord does accept, as we have it in the previous verse, he accepts the faith of his people as they plead Christ. You may fear to come before the Most High. You who am a worm, you may fear to come before that holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. But the Lord does accept, as he sees Christ. And this, we know how Moses spoke face to face with God, because the Lord accepted him by his own grace. Oh, what a mercy. And have we known from time to time the golden scepter extended to us feelingly? Dear friends, even if we cannot feel it, This truth remains that we are accepted for Jesus' sake. Oh, the Lord does hear prayer. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Oh, the Lord can turn your captivity. You who may be passing through soul trouble, circumstantial trouble, still pray on, bring my soul out of prison. Turn our captivity. Oh, the Lord is able to deliver. His arm is not short and that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy that it cannot hear. Oh, that God who indeed went to Calvary, died for the sins of his church, and rose triumphant over sin and Satan. Death and hell can and will deliver all his people. So this is what we need to be brought to. You can't fight against sin. You can't fight against Satan in your own strength. You can't fight against the world. We need the Lord to come. All the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're spiritual. We need the mighty God of Jacob to deliver us. Oh, we need to come before him as we are. We need to pour out our heart before him. We need to come as wretched sinners. We need to tell the Lord of our weakness in the face of temptation. And tell the Lord of our down sitting. Tell the Lord how poor we are. Fall down before him and tell him all the truth. There's that woman who had that running issue. Oh, we have a plague in our hearts. We have a dreadful plague of sin. And that we are ruined and filthy. And from the sole of our foot to our head, we're nothing but wounds and bruises. And putrefying sores. How we need to come and confess all to the Lord as guilty sinners, that he might come and do us good. And who can tell if the Lord will yet turn and leave a blessing behind him? Who can tell? Oh, therefore, pray on. Who can tell? Oh, the Lord is gracious and merciful. The Lord is slow to anger. Who can tell? And oh, there is that need to be continually turning, isn't there, to him. Oh, there is ever there a throne of grace. Well, every man knows the plague of his own heart. And every man knows his own sorrow, his own bitterness. Every soul knows his own bitterness. You know your captivities, those things that weigh down. But the Lord can deliver you. Oh, that we may then be brought down to his feet. And brought to that point of confession. Oh, what manner of spirit are we? How we need to pray, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Well, we read then how the Lord blessed him. And he's blessed his latter end more than his beginning. Maybe with some of you that this will be how the Lord deals with you. You may have been a captive for many years. May the Lord bless you. I believe we read in Haggai, and the Lord recounts all that, all their miseries that they'd been through, and then comes to this. From this day forth, will I bless you? May that day come. May that day come for some of us. All those here who long to be delivered, long for liberty, the Lord will bring you there. He can bring you there. And bless you indeed. Perhaps you think in your present captivity it will be forever. It will never end. But there is a set time to favour Zion. A set time to build her up. And that Lord who kills does make alive. That God who breaks down does build up. He delights to be gracious, and he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. Oh, the time of love will come, when each shall clearly see, not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say from me, liberty of spirit, you see, to really claim, put a claim upon the Saviour. For me. Oh, then there is such a thing as a blessing, you know. Sometimes we're in captivity, we can hardly believe it. But it has not entered into the heart of man, the things that the Lord hath laid up, you see, have in store for those that wait for him. Oh, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. It reminds us of the word in Isaiah, how Zion received double for all her sins. It speaks of the blessing of God, doesn't it? Oh, what a word is that, for all her sins, for God's free favour. We have given nothing to him, but he's given everything to us. What an exchange, is that. Zion's sins imputed to Christ, Christ's righteousness imputed to Zion. What an exchange. And the abundance of his grace, double. Oh, goodness and mercy. Pardon for all your sins. And a righteousness divine. This is what we need. Oh, that the Lord would then enable us to be those true confessors, those true mourners, those true seekers. Be brought down to that real point where we're found at the Lord's feet. For here there is deliverance. And David knew that that was the place of deliverance when he sinned, didn't he? Sinned with Bathsheba, and he had to lay before the Lord. We also sinned in numbering the people. but he well knew the only place of deliverance was to get low before the Lord. Oh, therefore, dear friends, the Lord brings low and he lifteth up. But that lifting up is his own blessing. It's nothing to do with us. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £735, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Fred Ince next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 756. Exceeding precious is my Lord, his love divinely free. And his dear name does help afford to sickly souls like me. 756.
do forgive everything thou hast seen amiss with us here in thy house this day, in our speaking and in our hearing. Do be with us as we part, and bless thy word. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us each. Amen.